Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwemke in for Lori Walsh. Topics ranging from the implications of the marijuana legalization and the opioid crisis on the Northern Plains to water quality and the Big Sioux River highlighted last week's International Legislators Forum in Sioux Falls. The ILF is an annual meeting of legislators from the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Manitoba. It provides opportunities for information sharing, troubleshooting, relationship building, and to develop collaborative agreements on a wide range of issues pertinent to our region. State Senator, Senator Randall Nesiba took part in the forum last week. Nesiba is a Democrat representing South Dakota District 15, and he joins us in the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. And South Dakota Speaker of the House, Steve Haugard, is also with us in our Sioux Falls studio this morning. Mr. Haugard represents District 10 in the State House. Speaker Haugard, good to have you with us as well.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate being here.
Now, Senator Nesiba, since you were the one who connected me with the Consensus Council, would you begin by explaining who they are and how they're involved with the International Legislators Forum?
Yeah, the Consensus Council is contracts with the International Legislators Forum to basically put this on, to do the logistics, to find the hotel, to find the speakers, to work with our steering committee to pull this together, and at the end of our engagement to try and find consensus among those who participated in the forum.
The forum itself goes back several years, and if I understand correctly, it came out of a series of flood mitigation talks back around 1997.
It did. There was really concern about what was going on in the Red River, and that clearly influenced North Dakota, Minnesota, and Manitoba, and it was one of those problems that required interjurisdictional conversations to be able to address it. And what they found was that there were a variety of issues that we could really benefit from learning from each other, and South Dakota joined the group as well.
I understand this is your third time at the forum as a delegate?
It is, and it was great to be able to stay right here in my own district this year as opposed to driving to northern Minnesota last year or to Winnipeg the year before.
You drew that tough trip to northern Minnesota in the summertime.
So it was beautiful there.
What about you, Speaker Haugard? Have you attended this prior to last week?
No, I haven't. There are a couple of other legislative organizations. There's the CSG and NCSL. They're national organizations, along with ALEC. It's American Legislative Exchange Council, and NCSL is National Council of State Legislators. CSG is Council of State Governments. And those organizations likewise look for common ground and try to share ideas and legislation that's coming forward. Everyone right now is addressing similar issues as far as marijuana and opioids and those types of things.
Let's get right into that. All of the topics that were covered at the ILF are at the forefront, really, in discussions among all people. They're issues that we discuss daily. Let's begin with marijuana laws and the implications of marijuana legalization. And I find it interesting at the outset because the states represented are in somewhat different positions. South Dakota and the province of Manitoba and all of Canada are really kind of a 180 right now. There had been some reports, I believe, last year North Dakota may have been looking into legalization of medical marijuana. Talk about that, first of all, how the conversation went with, again, having so many differing positions on this throughout the region.
Well, you know, we have Colorado that we receive information from because they're probably the most prominent state in the region that's addressing marijuana, legalized marijuana. And so we get information from them, and sometimes it's conflicting. You know, it depends if you talk to the Attorney General's office in Colorado or if you talk to other enforcement agencies in Colorado. But every state has their own unique aspect or application to the use or distribution of marijuana. Some are just for medicinal, some are including recreational. Manitoba has a federal policy, which is probably nice because it makes that uniformity across all the provinces. Whereas in the United States, we, of course, have each state legislating how they're going to use or prohibit the use of marijuana. And so South Dakota, we're in the middle of this multi-state application, and we need to figure out how we either prosecute people coming through or we give them a pass or whatever is going to be done. And I know there are some jurisdictions that are kind of turning a blind eye, jurisdictions in South Dakota, they're kind of turning a blind eye to even application of the law in regard to CBD oil. Mm-hmm. So, it's an issue we need to continue to address in this coming year or two and make sure that we've got enough facts in front of us so we can make competent decisions.
Is it an issue of just the pure volume and number of people that come through? Is it just hard to keep up right now for law enforcement?
Well, that's part of it, you know, and there's priorities. As we know, the opioid issue, of course, that demands immediate attention at times, and there's the overdoses that take place, so law enforcement's drawn to that. There are other events, you know, this throughout the tourist season and throughout the motorcycle rally and all those types of things, there will be use and abuse of drugs and various drugs. So when they look at marijuana, maybe they don't give as much attention unless it's a large quantity. And at that point, then they seize that and move forward with their prosecution for larger quantities. But it's obviously an issue we need to have. I think we need to have uniformity as far as the prosecution. If you've got a Pennington County or Minnehaha County that says they're either going to or not going to prosecute something, I think that's problematic. I think the whole state needs to have a uniform application of what they intend to do.
Senator Nesiba, kind of the same question for you. Again, talking about this region, we see some different attitudes as to how we deal with these laws. We have different laws around this three-state area, including the province of Manitoba. Talk about the discussions, what you learned, and what are some of the things we can do in the legislature here in South Dakota?
Right. What we try to do at the International Legislators Forum is try to come up with some consensus, and I'm not sure that we spelled this out at the end or not, but I think there was starting to be at least some agreement on the questions we would like to have answers to. We didn't agree on the answers. So questions about, was there an increase in driving while impaired in Manitoba and Colorado? Was there an increase in pets dying from consuming edibles? Were children being hurt by edibles? That there was just a variety of questions that we would like to have answers to. And at the forum, we were seeming to get very different answers from our own Attorney General's office versus the Revenue Office in the state of Colorado. And Manitoba's experience is new enough that they're just starting to come to terms to that. So I think we do need more information on that. And I do think it's useful in a state like ours where our legislative session is so very short to be able to have the groups that the speaker talked about, to go to an NCSL or a CSG conference or an International Legislators Forum, to be able to just be able to have a couple of days to talk about issues and to get the background and to understand what actually is going on, and then to talk to our counterparts in other provinces and states to see what they are doing. And so I found it to be a useful conversation. As I said, I think we agree on many of the questions, but I felt unsatisfied at our answers because we were getting contradictory data.
Right. We can kind of see what's been going on here in South Dakota. We know about the new law, federal law in Canada. With respect to our neighbors, North Dakota and North Dakota and Minnesota, are they leaning any direction towards possibly medical or recreational use?
And we didn't talk much about that, but Minnesota already has medical marijuana, and so does North Dakota.
North Dakota, okay. Speaker Helgard, I was a little surprised to know that Manitoba has a legislative process. They have more of a parliamentary process at the national level, don't they? But their local government is much the same as ours?
You know, I can't give you specifics, but generally, they're going to represent the interests of the province back to the federal level, but they can also provide some local legislation. In this particular situation, though, with drugs, they don't have that latitude. So it's a federal policy that's applied. So it's a little bit different. And like I say, I would really welcome a federal policy that would be applied across the nation as opposed to, for the most part, I like states' rights, but when it comes to this type of thing, it's a little frustrating because we've got this western border with where we have Colorado coming through Wyoming and into South Dakota, and we've got challenges with law enforcement and people coming back to South Dakota that have gone elsewhere, and they think that, well, it was legal where I used it, so why isn't it legal here? Well, there's laws in South Dakota that are unique to South Dakota and unique to the United States as far as ingestion laws. So that's one that's going to be addressed this summer, or reviewed a bit more this summer.
And that's one of the things that I wanted to ask you, too, about that being a states' rights issue currently throughout the nation. Senator Nesaba, do you kind of share the same thoughts the speaker has on this being a state rights issue?
Well, and it is interesting that Manitoba, and what the speaker was saying was that Manitoba doesn't actually have control over its criminal statute, so it can't decide how long somebody goes to jail for sure. That. That's determined at the federal level and not at the state level. We have more control over that. It would be helpful to have clearer state guidance. And there's two places in summer studies that are sort of tangentially related to this. One is the industrial hemp study, trying to figure out how that is regulated. And we do have a little more information from the federal government. And then this ingestion statute that is also being, there's a summer study on that and the way that's implemented, and just having a broader conversation about that. I mean, I think one of the things that came out of the forum too was just the way in which one talks about this. When we're talking about opioids, my sense of talking in particular, it was Heather Bell and Dr. Kurt Devine from Little Falls, Minnesota, they really started approaching opioids more as a public health problem. And I think they saw some real results from that. And so I'm hoping that at some point we could have them address our legislature as a whole, because this is both a law enforcement issue as well as a public health problem. And how we put that together, I think, is really important.
You gentlemen are both a step ahead of me in my questions here, because I did want to bring that up too, prosecution and punishment versus rehabilitation. Are you finding discussions from some of the other legislators that they are having success with rehabilitation? And are there any ideas to just stop this crisis in its tracks?
Well, we are, and we do have another summer study that is going on. It's been going on for the last couple of summers, is we have a mental health oversight task force that has really been looking at the ways that those who have mental illness, how they interact with our law enforcement and corrections system, and there's some clear overlaps with that with substance abuse. Are there ways that we could use medically assisted treatment in our county jail? Are there ways to change the way we do sentencing to make sure that people get treatment and aren't just locked up and released without treatment? Right now, my understanding is that we have a women's prison full primarily of those who have been arrested for drug use, and we're just not able to get treatment to them. And we have to figure out how to solve that and address that problem.
Yeah. I'm curious, Speaker Haugard, if at the ILF, the forum, with respect to law enforcement issues, was the topic of manpower brought up? Is our states and the province of Manitoba having an issue there? Is there anything we can do to help in those numbers? And even if there was more manpower, does that do much to solve this crisis?
No, I think the issue is shifting. Back in the 80s, it was really more of a focus on tough on crime, law enforcement, put them away. Mm-hmm. I think now the discussion primarily throughout all sectors is how can we see rehabilitation take place? And so I think that's where the dollars should shift. I hope they will shift, and I'm going to do everything I can to help that shift. Of course, you need law enforcement to get them to that point,
right,
and to protect people from themselves. Sadly, we've transitioned in a culture as far as being able to control ourselves from within. Now it's a control from without. And so when it comes to involuntary drug and alcohol commitments or mental commitments, there's a significant overlap there, and there's a need for more long-term treatment and even short-term treatment. I think the presentation we received from Sheriff Milstead was useful along that line too, that the new addition to the jail is intended to provide some of those services. I think also the triage center that's being contemplated, I believe it's going to be closer to the old city hall. I think those things are all good approaches to addressing the problem on a long-term basis. And as Senator Nesaba mentioned, you know, you've got the folks out in Pierre at the women's prison that it's primarily drugs and alcohol that's bringing them there, and primarily methamphetamine for the most part, and that's prevalent as far as whether it's male, female, or youth or older people. It's the pervasive problem that we have. So we need to look for those kind of long-term solutions and actually provide some long-term treatment. This does not work when you bring somebody in for a few weeks. That's not long enough to break a habit.
Right.
Right. And I just follow up on that, that we just simply have a shortage of treatment counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, not only for treatment, but just in general in South Dakota, that we really need more of those kinds of professionals, and we have to figure out how to meet that workforce challenge.
The healthcare industry certainly understands that in talks we've had recently on our show, and it sounds like they're trying to bulk up with respect to people that are working in those fields and having the number of people that they need to help those that are in need too. If we could, let's turn our attention to water a little bit. Water quality, the Big Sioux River, were among topics at the International Legislators Forum. The Big Sioux River has received a lot of negative attention over the last few years due to pollution. Many groups have advised people not to use it for recreation. Senator Nessebo, what was the essence of the Big Sioux River discussion at the ILF?
Yeah, I found that really useful just to find out all of the various things that we have been doing, not only at the state level. We passed a riparian strip bill here a couple of years ago, but some other smaller measures to encourage farmers to be able to keep their cattle out of the river from March until September, to put in crops along the waterways to be able to keep pollution out. And when they're doing testing, they're seeing that that really does work. And so the hard part is trying to figure out how do you create the strong incentives to get farmers to do that. And I think the reason that the river is getting so much attention is because, you know, we're sitting here in your studio today and it's just right over there. And that in Sioux Falls, we are increasingly building really expensive real estate next to it and using the bike trail and the walk, and people are walking along it and wanting to canoe and kayak on it. And we're seeing it that we'd really like to have a clean river here, and that that's at odds with what's going on upstream.
Speaker Haugard, it's interesting that the Big Sioux River was part of the discussion, because the Big Sioux is only traveling through South Dakota, although we had legislators from two other states in Manitoba. What were they able to share on the Big Sioux River discussion? I would guess they've had river issues in the past, too, where maybe they could lend some advice.
Well, I think the benefit is that you get the experience that they have had with trying to remediate issues along the rivers in North Dakota, and I think the real benefit of this conference and most of these conferences is trying to share information and to approach these things from a proactive stance. And I really do think that with enough information, whether it's farmers or it's go to the drug issue, it's anyone else, with enough information, people usually do the right thing. And I think that what we're seeing with the riparian issues with water, that if you provide enough information to the farmers and help them see how they can do the best job with husbandry of their land, that they will do the right thing. I don't think there needs to necessarily be legislation, but I think it's just an awareness of what's going on. And it's the same thing with the drug issues. If given enough information, people should choose the right thing, usually. And that's what we oftentimes lack, and sometimes we rush forward and we want to, for example, pass marijuana because it's the new thing and people want to have this freedom. Well, it'd be a lot better if we had really good information first before we charge ahead. It's sort of like whether it was lottery or alcohol or anything, or tobacco, any of those things. If given enough information, typically those in authority would do the right thing, and people individually do the right thing, but we just need to get more information out there on some of these topics before we act on them.
Was water quality a separate issue, or was that tied in with the Big Sioux discussion during the conference?
Well, that was all tied together, and that was very useful. And it was interesting just to be down at the Falls Overlook Cafe that one night when we gathered together, and the mayor was down there and provided a welcome to the ILF. And you notice that there was not a lot of foam coming through the river this year. Well, it's because it was so flushed out that those chemicals had already been pushed down, plus chemicals weren't being applied because you couldn't get in the fields. Yeah. So a lot of those nitrates, phosphates, were not even present at the time. But this is an unusual year, probably won't happen again for decades, but things got flushed out a little bit, but now it's a matter of trying to figure out how to get the sediments out and clean the appearance of the water, and also then make sure the cities along the upward route of the river understand the discharge that they have into that river and how they should better take care of that.
Mm-hmm. Senator Nessaba, a lot of reports have come out on the Big Sioux River. Have you been able to look into those and look into their accuracy? And just go ahead and continue on the thoughts of Speaker Haugart as well.
Yeah, and I wish we had more regular testing of the water quality that runs through the city. I would imagine at the moment it is pretty good because, as somebody said at the conference, dilution is the solution to pollution, and there's an awful lot of water running through the Big Sioux at the moment. And so I just think we need a more aggressive approach. I mean, one of the things they did see in Minnesota when they took up this issue of riparian strips, they mandated it and simply said that this is an important part of our common resource and you need to not pollute the waterways, and everybody is mandated to put in riparian strips and to keep cattle out. We've been reluctant to take that sort of aggressive action against farmers. And then I don't think we intended this, but just philosophically, we are willing to take that against somebody who's smoking marijuana, though, right? We will investigate. We will incarcerate somebody for that. But if it's about water quality, we take a hands-off approach and say, well, we need to figure out an incentive structure. We need to figure out a way to pay you to not do what, you know, to not do what we don't want you to do, right? We want you to keep the water clean, keep your cows out, put in riparian strips.
Do you have any final thoughts on the forum, this being your third time there?
Yeah, I think that this is an important forum, in part because we intentionally try to be as bipartisan or nonpartisan as possible. It's interjurisdictional. We try to have balanced speakers, and that we're not just taking a vote on something. So even some of the coverage about it being a debate, I suppose there was, but the goal is really trying to find some common ground. Where are the things that Speaker Haugart and I agree on that we can go forward to try and inform and make good policy for the state of South Dakota? I think it's exactly what our nation needs right now.
Yeah. Speaker Haugart, final thoughts on the conference.
Yeah, likewise. I think these conferences are always good. It does provide an opportunity to visit with people. You don't know what their backgrounds are necessarily as far as Democrat or Republican. And you just know that they share concerns about given issues, and you can collaborate and come up with solutions. I really appreciate the opportunity to sit down and do that on a longer-term basis as opposed to the way we do it in our committee meetings or on the House floor, where you got X number of minutes and go, and you're supposed to be done within so many minutes. These are helpful.
Do you have the option then of going back next year, or how is the selection process for which legislators are able to be there?
I think it's done at the speaker and the president pro tem make those selections each year, and they'll make those decisions next year.
Yeah, and everyone's welcome to come, so it's a good opportunity to show up.
Thank you very much. Our guests have been Speaker Steve Haugart, representing District 10 in the State House here in South Dakota, and State Senator Reynold Nessaba, representing District 15. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been fun.